This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition,
we need to ask ourselves, am I equally concerned about all sin against God, including my own? Or am I focused on seeing what everyone else has wrong with them? Because if you're truly concerned about God and His glory, if that's really your focus, the first place your concern is going to be, sin-wise, is toward yourself. I need to repent. I need to trust in God. I need to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. We need to be more concerned about our sin than anyone else's.
Have you noticed that the thing you find fault with the most in others is actually the thing you need to work on yourself? It's so much easier to see all the things that others need to fix and not even recognize it in your own life. Today, Pastor Dave encourages you to deal with the sin in your own life before confronting others. Before you can truly and honestly deal with another's sin in a loving way, you have to be right with God. If not, it's much too easy to slip into a spirit of superiority and condemnation. Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of Matthew chapter 7 as he continues his message, Judge Not.
Nathan the prophet later comes and tells David a story. And he tells him a story about a rich man with huge flocks of sheep. He has all these flocks of sheep and he lives next door to a poor man. And the poor man, Nathan tells David, has only one little baby ewe lamb. And he loved this little lamb like his own child. But the rich man had some guests come over and he didn't want to take any of the sheep from his flock to feed his guests. He takes this poor man's one little lamb and slaughters it to feed his guests. And on hearing this story, David, he explodes and says essentially, the man who has done this deserves to die and he needs to pay back fourfold for the worth of this lamb. And Nathan then, of course, if you remember the story, points his finger at David and says, you are that man. David was so angry at this rich man who would dare to take that one little lamb from the poor man while not realizing, not seeing the parallel, not understanding that he, as the king, had all of the wealth and power anyone could ever want, and he even had multiple wives, and he dared to take the wife of his servant, Uriah. And even beyond that, he dared to take Uriah's life as well. See, David, when hearing this story, thought he was seeing that speck clearly. He thought he was seeing clearly, this needs to be dealt with. And you know what? He would be right. But he was missing the huge log, the huge beam, the huge rafter that was sticking right in his own eye that completely blocked his vision. And how easily that can happen to us. Paul in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 points out how foolish we can be. It's so easy to pick on David, but he realizes how foolish we can be. He writes this, therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, you know, it's almost in parentheses, you, the judge, practice the very same things. What Jesus is getting at here in this illustration of the log and the speck is that before we start throwing around judgment at others, we need to first judge ourselves. You need to first judge ourselves. Before we go around trying to get that speck out of our neighbor's eye, we need to take a long look in the mirror. It's so easy and so natural and normal for us to take a microscope and put onto another person's sin, that we can see it in all of its glory or all of its horror. But yet we look at our own self, we look at our own sin through the wrong end of a telescope. Right? You ever see the Little Mermaid, right? As the seagull takes the telescope and he's looking at it backwards and Ariel's right in front of him, but she seems like she's way far away. That's the way we look at our own sin. We see it like it's real little tiny thing in the distance when it's right there. It's right in front of us. It's a beam sticking out of our own eye. It's been said that we're good judges of the mistakes of others, but good defense lawyers for our own. We're so quick to get defensive when we're confronted. But yet we're so easy to see, oh, I see where his problem is. I see where her problem is. So often like Lucy from the Peanuts cartoon. You know, you ever, any fans of Peanuts? There's one comic strip some years ago where Linus and Lucy are talking, and Linus says to Lucy, why are you always so anxious to criticize me? And Lucy responds, well, I just think I have a knack for seeing other people's faults. Linus then comes back at her and says, well, what about your faults? And Lucy answers, I have a knack for overlooking them. We so often have things absolutely backwards. We focus on the speck while completely missing the huge beam, the huge log that's right in our own eye. And you know what? I think Jesus points it out as the log and the speck, as the log is mine and the speck is yours. Because, you know, we know ourselves better than we know the other person, right? We may see what they say and what they do, and we make a judgment on that. But we know what we think and what we desire that never makes its way out. So that's why we should always be looking at ourselves and saying, there's this beam here, because I know the things that I think that maybe never slip out my mouth, but they're in there. I know the things that I desire that maybe I never act on outwardly, but they're in here. But having this idea of looking to the specks of others while missing what's going on in our own life by not examining ourselves, it's so hypocritical, because what we're doing when we're going to that person with their speck and with that critical attitude, and again, we'll talk about right judging in a minute, but when we go to someone with that critical, demeaning attitude, what we're doing is we're acting like we care about that other person when we really don't. I mean, think about it. Why do we care so much about the other person's sin? Is it because you care about God and His glory? Or is it because it makes you look better? Right? You point out someone else's sin, it elevates yourself. The reason we put other people down is so often because we're looking to lift ourselves up, even if it's just in our own mind. Jonathan Edwards wrote this. He said, "Proud people tend to speak of others' sins. It's hypocritical to place yourself in the role of judge when you have sin of your own." So we need to ask ourselves this question. We need to ask ourselves, am I equally concerned about all sin against God, including my own? Or am I focused on seeing what everyone else has wrong with them? Because if you're truly concerned about God and His glory, if that's really your focus, the first place your concern is going to be, sin-wise, is toward yourself. I need to repent. I need to trust in God. I need to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. We need to be more concerned about our sin than anyone else's. And as a friend once pointed out to me, it's possible that the speck you see in someone else's eye is actually just a reflection of your own beam. You're just seeing a reflection of that. It's like the man who was convinced that his wife's hearing was going, and he wanted to prove it to her. He wanted to show her that her hearing was going. And so one day she's in the kitchen making dinner, and he's standing in the next room in the living room, and he's thinking, all right, now we're gonna settle it now. So his wife's facing the other direction. She's fixing dinner, and he is standing maybe 30 feet away or so, and he says quietly, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. So he moves a little closer, maybe 20 feet away, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. So he says, she's really getting bad. So he gets even closer. He's maybe, 10 feet away or so, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response again. So he gets right up behind her. He's right up to the back of her head and goes, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she says, "I told you 4 times, chicken." When we get frustrated by the speck that we see in the lives of others, it may well be that we're also experiencing guilt in our own lives because of the sin that we have. Now, that doesn't mean, and this is where it's important to grasp, it does not mean that you then have to be perfect, that you have to have every sin dealt with in order to help someone else, in order to talk to someone else and help someone with their own sin issues. Because if that's the case, no one would ever be able to help anyone, right? That is not what this means. But it does mean that you need to confront and confess your own sin to God before you're in a position to help others with theirs. And that should be our focus, right? Our focus, when we point out someone else's sin, if we confront someone in sin, our focus should be to help others, to help them for their good, to glorify God, yes, but for their good, not so we can have this feeling of superiority or so we can crush them down because of something that they did or said. It's to help them, to lift them up, and to restore them to God. Look at verse 5 again, especially the second half of the verse. Like, first, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. We're not to ignore the speck, right? We're not just to say, well, because I had a log here, well, I can't go ever talk to someone about their sin. That would go against much of what Scripture tells us. The speck does need to be removed, and we are a body together. We are to care about the condition, the spiritual condition of the other members of the body. The speck needs to be removed. It's not loving to ignore a brother or sister that is in sin. A.W. Pink puts it this way. He says, if I really have my brother's welfare at heart, then love itself requires that I wink not at his sins, but rather endeavor to save him from them, just as much as it would demand me warning him when I perceive the first wisp of smoke issuing from one of his windows. Why wait till his house be half burned down before giving the alarm? So if we truly love our brother and sister, we want to help them deal with their sin. We want to help them to come to a place of repentance. We want to help them to grow and change and be more like Christ. But Jesus says we're to approach them as a brother or sister, to come alongside, not as the judge looking down. An author, August Van Ryn, said this, be a helper of the other's faith instead of a critic of his faults. Or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he wrote this, judging others makes us blind, whereas love is illuminating. You need to get rid of the log in your own eye so you can see clearly to help your brother. Not so you can ignore his issues, but you deal with yourself so that you can help him, so that you can be a help to him or her. Now, the world doesn't want anything to do with that. The world doesn't want any accountability. The world doesn't want anything to do with that. If you try to help someone who's in sin, oftentimes you may hear that idea, don't judge me. I had a good friend who I was friends with when I was growing up, and there was an issue that I perceived as something that wasn't helpful nor honoring to God. And so I think lovingly went to him and talked to him about it and shared where I felt like things may not be honoring to God in his life, and exactly what he said to me, don't judge me. Don't you judge me. So he was looking at it as I was being critical, where I was seeking to come alongside and help where he was at. When Jesus says, judge not, he doesn't mean we shouldn't help each other grow and change. That's what we are supposed to do. But what Jesus does forbid is that harsh, critical spirit that ends up getting in the way of us helping one another. Galatians 6:1 speaks to this. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. But then he goes on and says, but keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Because we can see someone who's fallen into sin, who's going through a bad time in their life, and their relationship with God is not right. And we can see that accurately, but we can so easily be tempted into a feeling of superiority, into a feeling of, well, you just can't cut it, as opposed to coming alongside as a brother and saying, you know what? I've been there, and God has brought me through. I have my own issues that God is bringing me through and working on, and we're going to come and work together to help one another to grow closer to Christ. How do you remove a speck from someone's eye? Well, gently and with care. And we remove it in a spirit of love. 1 Peter 4:8 says that love covers a multitude of sins. When we have a brother or sister that sins against us, we have two choices. We have two choices scripturally. We can overlook it. The Bible says it's a good thing. Overlook offense. Positive thing to overlook an offense. Or according to Matthew 18, we can go to them. So how do we decide? Well, I think we decide because we say, what is going to be the most honoring to God and the most helpful to this person? You know what? If there's a one-off issue where they just offended you and they said something that kind of rubbed you the wrong way, or they were not caring to you in a particular moment, you know, you could just say, you know what? I can let that go. I can have grace. But if you see a pattern of sinfulness, if you see overt, gross sin that's going on and there's no repentance, well, then you need to go. Because now they're in danger. They're in danger. So again, it's not about me either way. It's about what is going to be best for them and what is going to be most honoring to God. That's what we need to determine. That's where judgment comes in. That's how we learn to judge rightly. I like what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham said, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's God's job to judge, and it's my job to love. And that love comes in many different ways. Sometimes love is overlooking an offense. Sometimes love is lovingly confronting a brother or a sister who is in sin. But even though we're not to be judgmental, it's important to understand that we are not to be undiscerning. We are not to be undiscerning. Or you could flip it around and say, we are to be discerning. Not judgmental, but discerning. Verse 6, Jesus says, do not give to dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Now, at first glance, you could look at that and say, what does that have to do with what we've just been talking about? What is that? How does that tie in? Maybe that should be for another sermon. Those things aren't connected. But I think there is a connection. I think what Jesus is doing here is he's, in verse 6, he's pointing out the danger that lurks amongst taking verses 1 through 5 too far. If we embrace the idea of love for our enemies that Jesus talked about in the end of chapter 5, and we understand that we are not to have a judgmental attitude, we're not to judge others, well then we can easily swing too far and fall into the ditch on the other side of the road, the ditch of not using any discernment whatsoever. Warren Wiersbe put it this way. He said, not everyone is a sheep. Some people are dogs or hogs, and some are wolves in sheep's clothing. We are the Lord's sheep, but this doesn't mean we should let people pull the wool over our eyes. There are people, according to Jesus here, who are dogs and pigs, both of which were unclean animals under Jewish dietary laws. They weren't something they were bringing into their homes. And the point of the reference to the pigs and the dogs, more than just uncleanliness, is their wild and vicious character. Again, when we think of a pig, right, in our culture today, kind of, we think of pigs, we think of like, you know, Wilbur from Charlotte's Web, you know, this friendly little pig, or we think of the pig from Babe, you know, that the talking pig in that movie. We should be thinking of a wild boar when we think of this, a wild boar that is dangerous and can harm you. And dogs are, in the context here, certainly not your household pet, not man's best friend, but a wild dog who can do violent damage to you. And you would never think of giving a vicious animal, a vicious wild animal, something of value because they're just going to tear it to shreds. So what we're getting at in this, a couple of things. Number one, we can't force the gospel on people. We can't force the gospel on people. As Christians, we need to be merciful, we need to be forgiving, we need to be slow to judge, but we also need to wisely discern who we are dealing with. We shouldn't continue to hammer the gospel to those who absolutely reject it adamantly. Jesus makes the point in Matthew 10:14, which is, if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. The point is that we move on to people who will listen. We share the gospel with everyone. And some will accept and some will reject. And that doesn't mean that the moment they reject, you immediately stop sharing the gospel with them. You can continue to share that. When you're adamant and say, I do not want to hear it. Well, that's when you shake the dust off your feet and move on. But you don't give up on them. You pray. You still live out the gospel in their presence. And you pray that God would give opportunities to share in the future, praying that God would soften their hearts. Because we know how precious the gospel is. All of us who are Christians here, we know how precious the gospel is. We want everyone to embrace the gospel. We want everyone to see the glory that is to be found in Christ, the forgiveness, the joy. But we can't will it to happen. I can't save anybody. The Holy Spirit needs to do his work in their hearts. So we need to entrust those people to God. In a similar way, we should not engage those who treat the gospel with contempt. We should not engage those who treat the gospel with contempt. Because, you know, there are those that will reject the gospel, and they say they don't want to hear it, but then there's people that will openly mock it at every opportunity. Frederick Bruner said this. He said, some people have harmless specks in their eyes. Others have harmful clubs in their hands. This instruction here in verse 6 counsels us not to be foolish. The Bible tells us we're not only to be harmless as doves, although we are, but we're also to be wise as serpents. Proverbs 23:9 says, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. Proverbs 9:8, do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. So this is an example where we need to have discernment, and we need to make right judgments. Jesus says not to offer things of God to people who show contempt for the things of God. Love them, pray for them, again, live out your Christian witness before them, but don't engage those who treat the gospel with contempt. So as we consider this topic of judging and being judgmental and hypercritical and or hypocritical and having this huge beam in our eye while we are trying to pick the speck out of someone else's. How are you doing in that area? How are we doing in that area? How is your spirit toward other people and their faults? Are you loving people or are you judging people? How about on social media, right? And I know I mentioned that earlier, but I think, you know, what happens is sometimes when we get onto social media and we get on Facebook or Twitter or any of these things, our language gets much freer. And we'll say a lot of things or imply a lot of things that we would never say or probably would not say to someone face-to-face unless they really got us mad. And we kind of, you know, we can make it subtle so that we don't reveal the specific people we're talking about. But I would challenge those of you who are active on social media to just look over some of your posts. Look over your posts over the last year or two, whatever, however far back, and just think with the idea of, am I here loving people or am I judging people? If you don't quite know yourself, then have someone else that you trust look at it with you. Because I've seen a lot of conversations and posts and things over the last few years, not only just with people here, I mean just people who are Christians all around, that I think we should self-examine a little more. So just a challenge. Are you loving people or are you judging people? How do you approach your relationships with other people? We're to practice discernment, we're to make right moral judgments, but we always need to speak the truth in love. We're to approach each other as brothers and sisters who love rather than as judges who judge. And if you don't really know what it means to be a follower of Christ, you've never come to that place where you recognize the sinfulness of yourself. And maybe today, as we're talking about judging, you're kind of self-examining. You're saying, wow, I can be really judgmental of people. And that's an issue. I realize that I do look down on people and I do judge in the way that you're talking about. Well, you know, the good news is that Jesus died for judgmental people. Jesus died for people who judge other people. Jesus died for sinners, of which we all are, right? We are all sinners. We are all people who are only saved by the grace of Christ, by Jesus going to the cross, taking the punishment for our sin, so that we could be made right with God, that we could turn from our sin, trust in Him. We are forgiven, washed whiter than snow. And if you're a follower of Christ, but you recognize, you know what, this is an issue that I have, this is a struggle that I have, I tend to be judgmental, I tend to be harsh with people in my judgments, I'm trying to pull their speck out while leaving the log in my eye, and I do that because I think it makes me feel better about myself. And if you're honest about that, you know, then you can cry out to God and just say, God, I see this in me, and I know this is not honoring to you, so change me. Change me. Transform me from the inside out. Conform me into your likeness. Because we all can be this way. I mean, I'm not pointing fingers out. This is me as well. We can all be this way. We can all be judgmental. We all try to make ourselves feel better about ourselves, and we try to do that by oftentimes judging others. Confess it. Come to God. Say, God, change me. Make me more like you. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for this day, Lord. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your word, and I thank you for the love that allows you to come to us and not only forgive us of our sin, but present us with your word and your Holy Spirit to transform us so that we could be made more into your likeness, so that we can live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. I just pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified in our lives, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to honor you in all of our relationships and everything that we do. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Today's teaching in this Sermon on the Mount series may be at an end, but you don't have to stop studying God's Word. Pastor Dave Cook and all of us here at Road to Calvary encourage you to continue your own time in Scripture, seeking truth from every verse and chapter. You can continue reading the book of Matthew or turn to another book of the Bible. You just never know how God is going to reveal Himself to you through His Word. We're so glad you tuned in to Road to Calvary today, a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Riverhead, New York. We'd like to take a few minutes to ask you to partner with us in sharing the good news of Christ's love to the world. Would you commit to praying for Pastor Dave and the staff of Calvary Baptist Church? Pray that we teach truth, and that we commit to following Jesus every day. Would you pray too for the listeners of Road to Calvary? It could be that someone is listening today for the first time and hearing the gospel message for the first time. Would you pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to lead people to know about the grace of Jesus? Thanks for praying, and thanks for tuning in today. If you'd like to learn more about the ministry of Road to Calvary, we invite you to visit our website, cbcriverhead.org. And if you're in the Riverhead area, join us this Sunday at 10:50 a.m. for worship. We'd love to connect with you. Find out all you need to know at cbcriverhead.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join Pastor Dave next time as he continues this series right here on Road to Calvary.